Hello, folks, and welcome to Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast with myself, Joe Oberle, senior writer at VikingsTerritory.com and PurplePTSD.com, showing off all my stuff from the sites today. You can get that stuff if you go to our site. We have all kinds of great stuff. I'm joined, like I am each week, by the esteemed NFL insider and Vikings writer from Star Tribune and StarTribune.com, Mark Craig. Mark, we got to certainly talk to you this weekend because we got more. We have more non-Viking stuff to talk about than we have Vikings this week. But we'll get to both. We wanted to talk about the playoffs. Mark, what did you think of those two games in general? One of them was a stinker, and one of them was competitive. So it was some good football to watch, but.
Yeah, I mean, the one game was the first game, and the referees were horrible, and the second game was pretty good. So, that first game was hard to watch. It's hard to watch, and this is going to probably change some rules, like the postseason seems to do every year. Why not have a third? If you have a third quarterback on your team, on your roster, he's probably standing there. Why is he just standing there in a jacket when just make him active? Well, I don't get it. There's should be somebody who can throw a forward pass at the end of a conference championship game. And they literally did not have a person that could throw the ball more than 5 yards. The poor, you know, the poor guy who had his, it turns out that he tore a ligament in his elbow and couldn't feel the end of his hand, had to go back in there because the other guy had a concussion. So it was kind of the way the 49ers season had went right from start to finish. It's amazing, the amazing job that they did to get to that point. But you know, that's what I was looking at as far as that game is like,
let me stop you there and just ask a question. Are you talking like maybe some kind of exemption where you could have, a 50, you know, why not just have that spot active and it's only can be for a quarterback. Right. And then,
they used to do that. I personally don't know. So I don't see any, what's the harm if you have a practice squad and you could have, they've kind of COVID kind of like loosened some of the rules where you could have like veterans of any, you could have future Hall of Famers in their 20th year on the, on the practice squad. But, I don't see any reason. There's nothing makes sense to me why if you have three quarterbacks, everyone has a third quarterback, whether he's on your practice squad or whatever, and this is kind of hit home, with this playoff game. It's sort of like the overtime rule changed after the Vikings in New Orleans, right? So they started dabbling with the replay on pass interference because of the Saints game. This was a game that, oh my God, it's other than the Super Bowl, this is the weekend where the stage couldn't get any bigger for it. Why not have third guy that can throw the ball?
As you started saying that, it occurred to me, it's like, yeah, it's going to happen because all of a sudden this gets so much attention and it affects the game in such a great way. Wow. And we have this previous history. I mean, they changed the playoff rules last year and then, because of, possession rules or something.
Maybe if the Vikings had been there, the punter, Ryan Wright, could have been the quarterback.
Well, there's always that,
I don't know. It was hard to watch the end of that game. I thought the Eagles were a better team. I thought they won. I picked them because, like most people did, their pass rush is amazing all the way across the board. And that's why I picked them. I didn't think they'd knock out two quarterbacks, but I figured they'd affect the one quarterback. Mm-hmm. And they did. And the better team won. So it's not like, oh, my God, the 49ers got screwed or blah, blah, blah. They did get screwed on the one penalty, but or the one catch that wasn't a catch. But to me, the right team won, but still, let's have you want to be able to see a competition, not a team down by two touchdowns having no choice but to run a high school offense.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Unless you were betting big on the Philadelphia Eagles, everybody that's watching it that is not a big fan. Certainly wanted to see a better contest than that was. It was over quickly, and the 49ers' chances just kept nosediving from one thing to the next. I mean, they had Christian McCaffrey out there thinking he was going to throw a pass and run the Wildcat, and it's like, that's not what you're looking for on Championship Sunday. That's for sure.
No, not at all. And but overall, I mean, I just love the fact that all the quarterbacks are 27 and under.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is an amazing story because, let's face it, outside of Jalen Hurts and Jalen Hurts's family, none of us saw him anything more than a bridge quarterback at best to the next quarterback they're going to get. We saw a guy go from second round draft pick to nice runner to a franchise quarterback in front of our eyes. And that's amazing to watch. Patrick Mahomes is amazing to watch. Did a hell of a job selling that out of bounds, being a little more violent than it was. But he's a great quarterback. Joe Burrow. I mean, if I had to pick one player right now based on age, it might. I'm not sure. I would t wouldn't take Burrow
Yeah.
as to build a team around with my number one pick. Sure would take him more than Deshaun Watson. I'll tell you that much.
You said that to a note to me off before the show, and saying it again now. I watched a clip of that out of bounds play in the Kansas City game, which actually was very influential in deciding that game, which probably should have went to overtime. But it looked like their feet got tangled and he tripped him. As he pushed him, his left foot hit one of his feet hit Mahomes' left foot. He couldn't, and that's why he fell. He probably wouldn't have fallen from that push. And if
Yeah,
you
I
look
don't know. I
closer,
have this.
yeah, take a look at it, because all of a sudden it's like, oh well, I don't think it was as much of a soccer-like dive that as it was that he, his left foot got knocked out from under him. So
Yeah, but it's still, it
you had
depends.
to call that penalty. You had to call it. It was a
But
little bit.
it depends on, like, because I, watching it in on a replay, I'm like, yeah, that's a penalty. It sucks. But I would have kept my flag in my pocket at that point, just like they do with Hail Marys. It just did not. It just felt like it was not the right. It wasn't egregious enough that it was a penalty. That was a 15-yard penalty that basically turns a miracle kick into, Harrison Butker just, knocking it
Yeah.
through. Just did not like the way it ended. I saw Ben Lieber tweeted a replay of it. I don't know if the angle was different or whatever, but the first contact is like, Mahomes has still got a foot in bounds.
Yes. It's
Um,
off the
so
ground, though.
I don't know. But to me, depending on if you're looking at it, but you're going frame by frame by frame, if their feet get tangled or whatever the hell happens after the initial contact, that's just football. I mean, you can't, if he hit, they hit at the corner of the out of bounds and they go tumbling over each other. That should not be a fault of the
But Mark,
defender.
this is
And
not,
I
this
think,
is 2023 football where they protect the quarterback like nobody else, and so you better know that you're chasing this guy who's protected out of bounds on one leg. They're gonna throw a flag on that play if
right,
it's
right. But yeah,
close.
but what I'm, to me, it wasn't like he didn't go, too far out of bounds, I don't think. The other thing is, you say this is 2023. You don't you, you the quarterbacks like Josh Allen, who had that, remember when Eric Kendricks comes in, he's got a quarterback who's bigger than he is, who's probably faster than Eric is now, and he goes to slide, Eric kind of hesitates, and Josh Allen runs right by him. I mean,
All right.
that's the things that they're dealing with now. They got quarterbacks that are bigger than them, faster than them, and also you've seen it was years ago now at the Giants, they had a guy wrapped up. And he got and let go, and then the guy just spun around and ran, started running. Well, they didn't blow a whistle. When they're going to the sideline, I mean, let's face it, if Mahomes needed to get 10 yards on that play or whatever he needed to get, he was going to get. And that is, you got that, the game is riding on that play. And
Right.
you come into the sideline trying to meet. You don't think that Mahomes, if they would have pulled up, Mahomes would have kept on going. So it's, they're not
I'm
just trotting out of bounds, like going, oh, okay, I'm going to go out of bounds at this yard line,
And then they can put the ball forward even further. It's I totally agree with you what the defense is dealing with. I understand completely. They've legislated against their abilities for years, whether it be protecting the receivers or protecting the quarterbacks or what have you. And if you look on TV, and if Kansas City Chiefs win this next game, he already is the face of the league. He's going to be continue to be the face of the league. Mahomes, they're just not going to let him get hurt if at all possible. And
Of course not,
it
yeah.
was gray area. It was the right call. I think he was out of bounds, and he gave him a nice shove. They're going to do that with even if it's a running back. As soon as you get close to the sidelines and there's benches there, and I mean the defender even hit his knee, I think, and hurt himself. He had an MRI after the you know, so you've got to somehow protect that area. But yeah, it's too bad that it comes down to that play.
Yeah, I mean, I think initially when I saw it, I agreed with the penalty. I just, you know, that. But then I saw some, you know, and who knows what happens with Twitter when they start, you know, tweeting things. They could doctor the picture. Who knows? But it didn't look like he was as far out of bounds as initially watching it. I didn't go back and watch it 100 times. I'm just saying, in that situation, if I'm that referee, I'd probably keep it tucked.
But you know, they have to make that split second decision, and they don't have the benefit of replay to see where exactly his foot was. And that's not something I think can be reviewed. You can't put that flag away.
Not yet. I mean, pretty much everything will be reviewed eventually.
you sent me a note about defensive lines. I mean, you watched the Eagles dominate the 49ers, and you saw the guy from the Chiefs, 95. I can't remember what his name was.
Chris Jones. Yeah, Chris Jones.
Yes, who just wreaked havoc on Joe Burrow's in the first half. You know, they had four sacks, and I think that really changed the game, set it up for them to win. Even though in the second half and beyond, I thought that Cincinnati played better. So, talk to me about the importance of defensive lines.
Well, his sack at the end of the game, you know, toward the end of the game was the, you know, when they put him out on the right tackle and, you know, and he just bull rushed the guy. And at a moment when you needed something like that, you were able to take a defensive tackle who was an all pro player, move him out to any place you wanted. Right tackle happened to be the spot they move him out to. And he gets the sack. He also, I think earlier in the game, had the all time modern sack. I think he got in there, he bear hugged him. And then Burrow basically gave up, and he just dropped him on his butt. It was like a kid when you catch a kid when they fall out of the swing set and you lay him down. That's what he did. So, and that's kind of funny. You know, it comes from a guy like him who had probably the best sack that didn't count in the history of football when he had that one on Monday Night Football where he's landing on the guy, he's stripping the ball from the quarterback.
Right.
He's trying to brace himself with one hand, and they call him for landing on the quarterback. While he has possession of the ball. So that was a great, I love that. He's a great player. Those guys are so hard to find. Philadelphia has it. A lot of the NFC teams seem to have it. Washington has a great interior. The Giants have a kind of a really good interior front. Obviously the Eagles, they got double digit sack guys all across the board. I mean, can you imagine? You got Hassan Reddick coming off one end. And then you got the Hargrave in the middle, and you know these guys put so much pressure up the middle. There's nowhere to go for these quarterbacks. So yeah, when I'm watching that, I love the quarterbacks, and but I liked watching the defenses, and I just come away going, wow, you know, I think when you rebuild this defense, whether it's 4-3, 3-4, whatever, you know, to me, you got to build from the front back. You can't be coming, okay, we're gonna, you know. Here's our prized, you know, safety, you know, is, you know, that you need to start it from the front back, because you know, everything starts with the pressure and then you fill in the holes as you go back.
And the cornerbacks, who are so valuable in this league because it's a passing league now, they rely on the play of the defensive line in order to, you know, put some pressure in that quarterback so that they can stay with their, you know, their guy, right? I mean, Zimmer's always talked about you can't never have enough cornerbacks, but.
I mean, it's like you can't,
right?
You can't just have no cornerbacks, but I'm saying, I think, you know, this is going to be a fascinating offseason because you can't replace everything, but there's a lot of people that, a lot of names that are going to be gone. And where do you start filling holes? And, you know, this defensive line that they had, and I know that, you know, it's 3-4 and they're, you know, it's a different what we're used to seeing, but I just don't get the fact. I get the feeling, you know, that they need something. They need some dominance up front on the defensive line, and so
they got to change it and try to make and maybe get rid of Za'Darius Smith, or do they?
Well, I think what's going to get rid of Za'Darius Smith is the fact that they save over $12 million on a guy who's going to be 31, who the last 10 or 8 games of the season was an injured older player who's got a high cap number. That's strikes 1, 2, and 3 when it comes to keeping your roster spot.
How come the Packers won't pay that for us, those bastards?
I don't, you know, I like Za'Darius, and he started off great, but he's making too much. He's too old, and he's at a point where this team is transitioning. They can't afford that. And I wouldn't go and like restructure or anything. I would just go younger. Go find younger players. Find some younger, better players, or right. younger, faster players.
All right. Well, then we're gonna go do that. We're gonna start right now, and take a quick break and see if we can find somebody. But we got plenty just to talk. Like,
it's like podcasters. You gotta find some younger podcasting people. You know, gotta replace us.
Oh.
Right, go to break.
You're lucky that I'm older than you on that one, not by much. All right, come on back to Vikings Territory Breakdown. Okay, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown from Mark Craig, NFL insider from the Star Tribune. Mark, you know, you hinted at it, and it does need to be hinted at because the big elephant in the room in the out at TCO Performance Center, all the old guys with costing a lot of money for this team, and you said they got to get younger. They got to get younger, but they got to get better. I got some cap hit numbers here I just want to run through, and then we'll talk about some of these players. But these are the most expensive Vikings for 2023 regarding their cap hit, and they are Cousins at $36 million, Thielen at 19, almost 20, 19.9, O'Neal 19.6, Harrison Smith 19.1, Z Smith 15.5. Dalvin Cook, $14 million. Daniil Hunter is at 13. Kenrick's at 11.4. Hockenson is 9.3, and Tomlinson 7.5. And only two of those players are guaranteed to be with the team in 2023 because they're on a contract. That's O'Neal at 19 and Hockenson at 9. Mark, pardon me.
So you're booting Cousins off the team? Is that you got him wrong?
Not guaranteed. I've booted him. I mean, he's. You know, yeah, you could. Some people are, and we can talk about that a little bit later. But what jumps out at you? I mean, maybe put a spotlight on Dalvin Cook. What do you think of him? What did I say? Dalvin Cook's got $14 million, and they've got a pretty good running back room there. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, as much as we like Cook, and I'm on record as saying, you know, I love the guy, but that's too much money. It's too much money for a running back, period, let alone a running back who's going to be 28, 20, or 29 years old going into, or at some point this next season. You know, you get like an almost an $8 million caps savings when you cut him. You carry $6 million in dead money, but I think you got to move on. You got to move on from him. You got to move on. I mean, if you look at, I'm not saying that, you know, they're not, the Vikings are not structured like these other teams, but you can, I mean, we see it. We watch the Chiefs and we see the 7th round draft pick, Pacheco. He's the best running back on the field. And they, frankly, I mean, granted, they don't have Mahomes. Vikings don't. But, you know, Pacheco leads them in rushing with like 30 yards. Philadelphia has three guys score 4 touchdowns. None of them had more than 42 yards. Mm. One of them's a running, one of them's a quarterback. One of them's a, you know, Sanders is a second round pick, and another guy is a 5th round pick. Now, you know, so it's not a spot where I would put money into it. It's just
how can you dress that many running backs on a day? I guess you'd probably dress 3 running backs each game, and they use them all, huh?
Yeah, well, as I said, well, you know, one of them is running back / quarterback.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know, but to me, it's a shame that these guys put themselves through hell physically. You know, Dalvin got paid; he got his guaranteed money, but now it's time to you start to have to untangle yourself out of these contracts, knowing that he wasn't going to make it to the end of that contract, and with it staying intact. And And I don't. I just think when you have Owangu and you have Ty Chandler, those are guys I would go with. Chandler is like under a million. Nwangwu is maybe 1 point something. Madison, is, if he wants big money, I see. I'm sorry. See you later. You know, I would go young, and because this team needs a lot, it needs a lot of holes to fill, and it got to get so much faster on defense, and you're going to need to put together a pass rush. So they need to, the running back just can't cost, you know, $20 million or $14 million. There's just no way.
But what kind of dead cap hit does Dalvin have? Or you can't just cut him. You probably got to trade him, right, and get something for him, or you cut him and
oh no,
and then get a comp.
It's 6.2 in dead money. So that's a lot to carry on a guy, but yeah, you get an $8 million savings on him. You know, from a key. You know, the bad part is you get an $8 million savings on him, but you don't get him. You know, so
you get a compensatory pick, perhaps, though, right?
If he goes, yeah, he's going to sign some. Well, if you cut him, I suppose that can factor in. Yeah. But there's, you know, like if you look at cut and some of those other numbers, you know, Kirk Cousins to me, I get it. If you want someone to follow you or pay attention to you, or just say something about Kirk Cousins one way or the other, I hate Kirk Cousins. That's a headline. I love Kirk Cousins. That's a headline. But to me, he is so far from, we are so far removed from him, his contract being one of the worst in the league as far as quarterbacks. I mean, it's not even close. I mean, would you rather have Kirk at $35 million or, you know, Kyler Murray at 46, Russell Wilson at 49, Deshaun Watson at 46, Derek Carr at 40, you know, 41, you know, Dak Prescott at 40. I mean, Kirk is the price of doing business. Until you find someone that can be better than Kirk, you got to stick with Kirk.
And I hope he's not watching this. Better. He'll want to raise, Mark.
I'm just, you know, he's the price of doing business. Yeah. Unless you're lucky, and we've all heard it. Oh, you know, all you need to do is just draft Joe Burrow, and you know, inside his 5 years. Yeah, well, that's easier said than done. But as long if you don't have that guy, and Vikings spent so much time, you know, they can win with Kirk. They just got to put the team around him. But I agree that this is the year. You know, we've talked about it for a couple of years now, but this is the year that I haven't looked at any of the draft boards or anything. I don't know anything about the mock drafts yet. But if there's a quarterback sitting there, and you think he can be a future quarterback, and he happens to be there, I don't think it will be. But you take him and you start the process, and you start working to get out from the Kirk. He's either going to, you know, stay at this level, win, or you start the process to bring someone else in.
You know, is the problem with Kirk's contract that it's all guaranteed? Does that factor into what makes things difficult? I'm not even sure.
I think it's all cap numbers. That's why Mike Zimmer knew what was going to happen to his defense whenever they gave a guy at the time was the first guaranteed multi-year contract for an NFL player, 3 years and $84 million. Well, you know, Zim knew what was going to happen after 2019, whenever they had to get rid of the entire secondary, all the corner. They got to get rid of their top three corners because they hit a wall financially with how much they were paying the quarterback. You know, at one point, Kirk was probably the highest paid quarterback annually for what, a couple months, maybe, whatever it was.
Right.
Now, I think Rodgers is at $50 million. You know, he's at $50 million. He's still a great player, and Green Bay probably wants nothing to do with him right now. They're probably ready. They're probably ready to say, "Hey, okay, we've had enough of this, you know, going over and over. It's time." See, I went John Madden and I tore my headset.
You know, you make a good point. I mean, at some point, it's the cost of doing business. You got to have Kirk. If you're going to have Kirk, he's going to cost you some money. And it should. The man got him to a 13-4 record. He had eight game-winning drives. He won 11 games by himself, by one score. I don't know that there's a lot of quarterbacks that can compile that record in the league, since some of those things are records. So, I mean, yeah, love them or hate them, at some point you've got to find a way to make Kirk work for you and to take you to the next level. And that's about the rest of the team, isn't it, Mark?
Right. And that's not there are no – in the NFL, there's 32 teams. They're all kind of similar, but there's no apples to apples. You can't sit there and go, well, look at the 49ers. The 49ers, they had Trey Lance for three games. They had Garoppolo for a handful of games, and they had a seventh-round draft pick for the rest of the game. You know, the Vikings don't have – the Vikings don't have that offensive line. The Vikings don't have that running game. They don't have a Debo – I mean, they don't have – that defense. So that's, you know, you put Kirk Cousins on that team, they're probably still playing. But, yep. You know, so to me, it's like, you got to look at what you have. If you want to get rid of Kirk Cousins' money, then
what are you going
to
do?
Who knows how long?
Nick Mullen?
Who knows how long? I mean, the Vikings fans should know how long it takes to get to a guy who can bring you at least this far.
Right.
Who's can, and also, which is the, you know, certainly what we saw, that, you know, how the 49ers dealt with this season, a guy who's going to, you know, has proven he can be there every week. That's just some guys that are that way and some guys aren't that way. And he's been that with
Kirk, yeah. Because I just saw this morning, he was hit the most in the league 84 times. Next guy was 12 less. And the two people that gave up the most hits were Ezra Cleveland and Ed Ingram in the league. Top three, yeah. Both of them. It's amazing that he has not had to, there, but for the grace of God, go I with the San Francisco 49ers, when we saw what was happening with them on Sunday, went through three decent quarterbacks and they have nobody that can throw a pass. The Vikings have actually been lucky that Cousins has been so durable through all this, you know, getting hit that much. He doesn't get enough credit. I mean, you know, that's a great thing. You want the guys to be out there and be available, but that's still attributable to Cousins for being tough enough and being in shape enough to withstand some of that. You know, when he was Kirk O'Chains, we saw how ripped he was. So he must be doing something to put some body armor. So I don't know. I think that's undervalued in analysis of Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, certainly. That's what he bet his entire future on, his life on. And he came through that way. You know, my thing with when you have the Kirk Cousins argument, because if you're fighting with someone, if you're trying to be in the middle of someone who loves him or someone who hates him, you're not going to convince them anything. My only retort to them would be, if you want to replace him, that's great. But replace him with someone who's either as good or better than him.
Right.
And there are not a lot of, short of getting the first pick in the draft or short of, you know, all the things that happened for them to stumble into something like that, it's not available. So until he can replace him, he is at $36 million, $35 million is the cost of staying competitive or trying to stay competitive. I mean, you think that, Justin Jefferson, you know, do you want to waste any of Justin Jefferson's career having him play with, Nick Mullens may prove to be a good backup quarterback, but you turn this team over to Nick Mullens and say, okay, we're going to win in 4 years after we get our franchise quarterback. And then all of a sudden your all world receiver is now close to 30 years old. You got to try and do it now. And, right. and this league is every single year. This league is about teams that go from nowhere. Jacksonville, two years in a row, the worst record in the league in the playoffs. You know, we see it over and over and over again. You got to try and win now. And till they can find someone better, you got to stick with Kirk.
So they got to build around him. And when you say win now and you look at these numbers, one of them that sticks out to me and makes me shed a small tear because I'm a Mankato guy is Adam Thielen at 19.9 million on the cap. That's not going to happen next year. They're not going to pay Adam that much. They got to do something with him. There's no two ways about it. It's a shame because he's been so good for this franchise, but you know, he's getting up there in age and if everybody is right that says he's lost his step, you know, he's still got valuable for in the end zone, but you can't pay $20 million to someone who they could give the ball to somebody else. They can throw the ball to Hockenson for half that price, and he can catch him in the end.
Well, so, well, that price is going to be going up.
Yeah,
but no, but the thing about Thielen's contract, the way it's structured, is that cutting him is not the option because he's got like a $13.5 million dead money on his contract.
No kidding. Oh,
man. So you save $6 million, but you still have $13.5 million in dead money. That to me, he's not. That's not the kind of guy that. To me, he's not a guy that you can absorb a $13 million dead money on. So it would make sense that you would trade him, or I don't know if there's more of like renegotiating his contract and getting it down. I don't know, but just to cut him, I don't see him just being cut. Not with that kind of dead money.
Other teams would take him, Mark, but are they going to take that contract? You know, can they? Can't
well, the way it's worded is that the cap number is higher for the Vikings because of the guaranteed money coming due at this in 2023. Supposedly, the cap number if he were to be traded to another team would be like $11 million,
and
which would be the Vikings perfect for a lot of teams.
Vikings would have to pay some of that cap money then, like the Packers are. Well,
I would imagine the Vikings would then carry. Well, they get that $6.4 million savings without the dead money. So
yeah,
you know that seems to be the way that it would go. Either that or some sort of restructure again. I just my initial thought was, and I'm not the cap guy. I'd rather just tell the stories of these guys and let people smarter than me figure out the money. But this is an off season where cap guys are going to be good to know as far as how it all fits together. But I just don't see them just releasing him and taking that kind of hit, dead money wise.
You talked to me about Dalvin Tomlinson's contract. We got it listed at he'll be $7.5 million next year. Is he a guy? Let's see his. I'll read what you wrote. His original deal in 2021 was for 5 years, but the last 3 years are void years. Explain to me what's going on there and what you might see happening with Dalvin.
That means that he played out his contract with the Vikings. He signed a 5-year deal. Last 3 years were voided. That's a way of doctoring the numbers to where what they gave him splits over 5 years as opposed to 2 years, which so he's out. He's out of. They're out of, they would carry that 7.5 dead money. I mean, unless I'm missing something, he has played out his contract with the Vikings and will be a free agent.
Really? So they'll just let him go and see if he wants to sign here for less money or test the market, I suppose, huh?
Yeah. And I think that, Dalvin has had some good games and stuff, but I think maybe we tend to overrate him sometimes. I'm not seeing like what I envision as like what you can get to with it. And granted, these guys aren't everywhere. And not every team has what the interior of the Kansas City has that one player and then what Philadelphia has across the board. But in the NFC, you sure are seeing a lot of those guys. And I just think that it's time to go find some nasty guys up front and some fast guys in the back.
Boy, this is real. This roster is really going to change, isn't it? It's really.
I think so. And as you're looking through this, there's certain like, Kwesi made mention of like someone asked, well, what about trying to sign Jefferson? And he said that's champagne problems. And that's, as being a Ivy Leaguer or not being a cap guy or not being very smart with my own finances, I look at certain guys as like, it's just. That's what you have to pay him. Like Kirk, I put Kirk in that position right now. I'm like, I don't see getting better. I don't see giving up and starting completely over. So Kirk, you just pay Kirk. And O'Neal, whatever his number was, I didn't even write it down. I'm like, O'Neal is your right tackle. Hockenson, whatever it takes to sign Hockenson. Because I think Hockenson. I mean, you could say, well, anybody could play that role as a Irv Smith could do that. Well, as we saw in Hockenson's first game after being here less than a week, he topped all of Irv's numbers just in the fact that he's that he's not Kelce, he's not Kittle, but he sure is good enough that like there's so many times where you see it now and tight ends are just like completely, they're just wide open all the time. They're just, they're somewhere to be found. And Kirk needs that guy.
Yeah.
Kirk, who doesn't like to use his legs as much as he should, doesn't seem to want to move around a lot, stays in the pocket a lot. And, you know, that having that tight end somewhere where Kirk can find him is so vital. And he's also, you know, Kyle Rudolph, we can see, you know, I'm sure there's Kyle Rudolph fans, but this guy ran more after the catch than Kyle Rudolph in his entire career this year. So he's a guy that, I say Hockenson's a great player, can be a great player. Jefferson's the best player. You know, and when it comes to running back, you'd like to say, in a perfect world, Dalvin, you know, but that's just not the way the finances work and the way that you can find running backs. You can find a Pacheco in the seventh round that can be more valuable or as valuable as Dalvin Cook, but you can't find a seventh round Justin Jefferson anywhere. You know, it's just the way the position is.
You can find a fifth round Stephon Diggs though. How about if the Vikings offered to trade with the Bills one Cook for another? No, I'm just kidding. It'll never happen.
You'd get the younger one. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd go for that. And his contract is on a rookie deal. Okay, well, that we're going to keep talking about this as things goes on, and things will start happening from week to week. But this is fascinating on when it wants to be. I have some faith in these guys to really get out there and try to figure it out. But at some point in general, I kind of think they're a little hamstrung too. I mean, they don't have a lot of draft picks at the moment. They have four, and they're going to want to get some more collateral. So hopefully they can trade some of these big contracts and get some draft material because they got to get younger.
Yeah, the one thing I will say is that it's kind of sad is looking at all these numbers. The one guy who clearly is gone is Eric Kendricks. The savings on Kendricks is like $9.5 million. The dead money is less than $2 million. You know, for a team that's so up against the cap, he's an obvious cut. And his age, you know, it's like I've admired him. I've called him the best defensive player, you know, more when Zimmer was in charge. He's a guy that's going to be 31 years old. He's kind of reached that point where they need to get younger. And, you know, Harrison Smith is a guy too that, you know, I don't know what they do with him. I see more like a restructure with him because if you cut him, it's like a $12 million dead money hit. You save about $7 million, I think. I think you kind of negotiate something with him, get him down because you need some leadership there.
What about restructuring Kendricks? Don't you think that's a possibility? I mean, he's younger than Smith.
Yeah, but I think they need they that's a position where I'm not saying Eric is slow, but I'm saying you know, the NFL takes its toll and Eric has been playing a long time. I think again, it's one of these where can you afford to upgrade that position? Hicks are Asamoah is going to take one of those two spots inside.
Yeah.
The guy who's costing you a heck of a lot of more money is Eric Kendricks.
Right.
We don't know where these guys are going to like fall as far as who takes a restructure, who does this, who does that. But I think they've reached a point with this defense where we have to be willing to like, you know, almost everyone's on the table. I mean, I would say Danielle Hunter is probably a guy that I would say, you know, you keep him, you pay him what you need to pay him. Maybe you restructure him, whatever. You get him in a spot, put him in a defense where he's gonna be more effective as a pass rusher. I know he kind of came on toward the end of the year and had a respectable year, but he can do so much more. So I'm thinking, okay, he proved he can play the whole year. That's a guy that I would say I'm going to keep him on my defense. Everyone else, I think you got to be open to like, hey, it's a new day in Minnesota when it comes to especially on that side of the ball.
Yeah, you're breaking my heart a little bit here, but you know it wasn't as difficult as I thought it would be watching Anthony Barr on the Dallas Cowboys. He went to a really good defense, but you know they're out of the playoffs as well. But players like Harrison Smith and Eric Kendricks, if somebody or even Adam Thielen leaves, that's going to be difficult for this purple wearing guy over here, but I'll take a break and see if I can get through it to come back for the next segment. We'll do that and come on back to Vikings territory breakdown. All right, folks, welcome back for the final segment of Vikings territory breakdown with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. As you all know, Mark's a Hall of Fame selector, and he's a AP voter for end of year awards and such, and so he's got the insight. But the news that was made this week is Justin Jefferson, wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, you might be familiar with, was named Offensive Player of the Year by the Pro Football Writers Association. Is that right, Mark? Is that how that went?
Yeah. The Associated Press Awards, which are recognized by the league as the, if you win that, if you win an MVP in that or Coach of the Year, whatever, that's the one that gets historically, that's who is, wins it for that year. There's several other, awards, but yeah, Justin Jefferson was the Offensive Player of the Year, which typically ends up being regarded kind of when you vote on these things as the backup MVP, I guess, because of the fact that there's most valuable player in this league typically means most, best quarterback or right, most valuable right. quarterback. Justin Jefferson, I would guess, I haven't seen the results of the, it gets announced. All the awards getting announced on February 9th at the honors show. I would think that Justin Jefferson will be Offensive Player of the Year, but when I look at that award, I see like the Justin Jefferson, Travis Kelce, maybe even Jalen Hurts to some degree. I don't think Jalen Hurts got MVP, but he might, he doesn't get that, but then he gets the Offensive Player of the Year award. I'm not sure. Justin certainly is deserving of that. And he's also deserving of, how we this was the first year we did like a weighted voting system where for Coach of the Year, you voted for like your top six, I think it was, for MVP, top three. And I believe these other awards were also top three. So
KOT, yeah, I mean, your top six?
Somewhere in my top six, yeah. Okay. I've seen the people already saying, well, he wasn't a finalist, so he's been snubbed. He's been all this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
Well, we only voted one time. The NFL is just taking advantage of this gap, as the NFL is wont to do when there's any dead space or whenever things are silent. That's where the NFL comes through your front door and starts beating you to death with whatever's going on at that moment. So they have the masters at the. Are you watching basketball at this moment? No. Get back over here and watch this. Watch this. We're announcing the schedule, so come watch this. The Hall of Fame. That's kind of have a season unto itself, is ripping the Hall of Fame selection committee. That right. comes after the Super Bowl and before the draft, before free agency. So we've got all have our little windows.
Well, just to drill down a little bit more, I mean, you said that the Offensive Player of the Year is like the de facto or second place guy for MVP. Do they give you any parameters when you vote for something like that? Do they say this award means this and that award means that? Or they just have the name and you
fill it? I think people wrestle with what it – there's been people who've talked about maybe renaming it the most outstanding player. They take that valuable word out of there. And to me, it's just make it keep it the MVP. It's not out of the realm of possibility that MVP, last guy to do it was Adrian Peterson, and that's been 11 years ago now.
Yeah.
But it's possible. Justin Jefferson, I feel, had he not had that Green Bay game, that Green Bay debacle.
Yeah.
And they kept, because it was the perfect storm for a receiver to win that award. I think if a receiver's ever going to win that award, this was kind of the scenario that it would happen. You had a team that was always in a one score game, always winning a one score game. The receiver was important in every game. When Calvin Johnson set the record at 1976 or whatever receiving yards. That was like a three or four win team in Detroit. So he wasn't going to win MVP for that. Now, if the Vikings had gone on and gotten the number one seed, which they were still in the hunt, And Justin Jefferson is at almost 2,000 yards. Justin Jefferson would have had a hell of a – if they had been a number one seed and Jefferson is hanging around 2,000, he'd have been MVP. But they went to Green Bay. They didn't have the right shoes. They slid around like school kids on the, you know, on the backyard. And he had what? He was shut down. They lost the game. Got drilled.
Yards or something like that.
Yeah. Right. So you know that's how fragile these things can be.
And so recency bias is that what you're saying? They got
no. That's not recency bias. It was a huge game to keep them in the running for number one seed.
Yeah.
And he doesn't he's a non-factor, and they get killed. You know, Jalen Hurts, if he doesn't get hurt and miss two or three games at the end of the year, he probably wins it. Now, I'm saying maybe he did win it. I don't know. But that factors in. To me, the MVP, you know, better darn well, I think, be there every game. So
Mahomes is going to win it, isn't he? Everybody's saying he is.
I think so, yeah. And I think it's deserving. I mean, man, you just look at a guy like, you know, this will give him two before the age of 28, I believe. And he could be winning another Super Bowl. And
God, that means Brady's going to have to keep playing because he's probably feeling threatened by all these records that Mahomes is going to take away from him.
Yeah, well, maybe Brady will be in just throw him out in San Francisco, right? So,
God, they've even talked about him. You see the things you see on Twitter is, you know, they're talking about the Vikings are a dark horse to get Brady because his mom is from here or something like that. And I'm just going, would you stop?
Rumors of
a Kirk Cousins trade to the 49ers. I mean, this stuff's not going to happen.
If you're Tom Brady and you're turning 46 and – you know, there's only certain places you're going to go, and one of them is not behind this offensive line.
Right.
And I could see him standing behind Trent Williams, but not that Christian Darrisaw is not a good player. I'm just saying that if he does keep playing, it's going to be something, you know, it's the perfect situation. Just like Tampa was the perfect situation when he left New England.
You know, and you know, the other part of it is that people throw stuff out there, Kirk Cousins to the 49ers, you know, what are they going to say? They don't have a number one draft pick for the next 2 years because of all the other wheeling and dealing they have. So what would the Vikings even want to get? You know, there's got to be two sides of this trade. This stuff's just silly.
Joe, they got you when you clicked. That's all you're going to get out of it is a click. So, whenever you give up what they gave up to get Trey Lance, you think that they're just going to throw Trey Lance away now?
That's what we all think because of Brock Purdy, but now Brock Purdy's got only one arm left. So,
the kid's has amazing poise to do what he did for as long as he did.
Yep.
But if there's a reason that. I mean, he wouldn't have done that with the Texans. He wouldn't have done that in Cleveland you know, he wouldn't have come in and won seven games in almost anywhere else.
You're absolutely right.
You know, Christian
McCaffrey and the offensive line and the defense to back him up too. Yeah, you're right. You know, Tom Brady come in there and give Brock Purdy a year to get his elbow in shape, you know, for one and let Brady get one more title.
Watching Trent Williams, I don't know. Trent Williams might be what 52 years old. He could probably play till he's 70. I mean, when they had that skirmish at the end of the game, people say, "Oh, the 49ers, it's a bad image for them and everything." We don't know what's said on the field. That was just kind of a meltdown situation for that game. Right. When he grabbed that, granted the guy's a lot smaller, but there's this back and forth. And when he just, you know, it's like when you're kids and the meanest dad in the neighborhood comes in and breaks it up and throws the guy on the ground. And people were commenting, goes, I wonder why nobody was throwing anything at Trent Williams as he's coming off the field in Philadelphia. I think, you know, Philadelphia fans have a reputation for being a bunch of, you know, punks and everything. But I think even as drunk as they were, they realized that number 71 might have found his way up into the stands.
Right. Let's not make him madder than he already is.
Oh my God! If you'd have gone, if someone would throw something at a guy like him, and he went up into the stands, And I'm going to put him in the Hall of Fame either way. But if he went up in the stands and beat up a guy who threw something at him, I'd put him in the Hall of Fame right now. I'd say don't even wait 5 years.
I've seen that in hockey, and you know, there's not a lot of fights that, you know, I think fighting in hockey is overblown for certain reasons. And, you know, I was, you know, Bobby Hull died the other day, and I got a note from a good friend of mine who we grew up playing hockey together, and he was lamenting that. And I told him how used to carry a photo of Bobby Hull in my wallet in middle school. Was his face is totally bloody. And it was a picture out of Sports Illustrated that said, if the, some official says, if they don't clean this up, this kind of stuff up, this game is really going to catch on. And, you know, so you've got that kind of aspect of it. But I do appreciate that if someone is going from the stands is going to start throwing stuff at you or somehow doing bodily injury to the players who are out there and can't necessarily go anywhere, I don't have a problem with them just getting in their face. And I'm not saying I don't want them to go beat them up, but well, it's like, I don't have a problem with that if they just say, hey, back off here, dude, you know, and just maybe flex a little bit. And so they say, okay, sorry. You know, I don't know.
I think I qualify as old school. And whenever you hear a story of like if Charles Barkley, when he threw someone through a plate glass window in a bar,
right?
You know, the first reaction now is, oh my goodness, this is terrible. You know, he should apologize. My first question is, did the guy deserve it?
Yeah,
because we've all been in situations where someone, you know, sometimes a person just needs to be thrown through a window.
Well, you know, that's not a Hollywood window. That's not, that could have been shards that killed the guys. So that's a little bit much, but.
So do I need to walk it back?
A little
okay,
bit.
Okay, I'll walk much, it back. A bit much. Oh, only if it's a Hollywood window does he need to be thrown out.
There you go.
Gotcha.
Any later news, latest news on the DC search that the Vikings are going through? I see Nick Fangio is looking like he's going to sign with the Dolphins, and Ryan Nielsen, who came here to be interviewed, did sign with is being hired by the Falcons. So there's a couple potentially off the board, and I, you know, you were telling me Brian Flores is interviewing out in Arizona right now.
Yeah, I mean that to me is the reason it's not moving. You know, like believe it or not, the NFL doesn't always move as in between refresh buttons on the your keyboard takes some time. So, you know, so the Vikings don't want to go through the process of interviewing Flores and then make a decision before Flores gets done interviewing the Cardinals and the Cardinals are now talking about interviewing the defensive coordinator for the Bengals and. I think the offensive coordinator somewhere. So they got to let that play out a little bit. You know, my feeling all along was kind of that Pettine would get the job and
really
move on. But I don't know. I mean, Pettine has the relationship with the head coach. It's and not that Ed and O'Connell had a bad relationship. I just don't think it was a level relationship. I mean, Ed's just a. He was a bad fit for this team, what they were looking for. And I think that Pettine is someone that – and O'Connell didn't know Pettine or he didn't know
Ed.
Donatell. So I just thought Pettine. But Flores is a guy that, man, that would be a good hire. I think he's very well respected around the league. Players love him. Comes from the Steelers. You know, was a head coach that had two winning seasons. Got fired when they wouldn't take a dive for his owner. What's not to love there?
Why did we not see or hear more out of Pettine this season when he's a special assistant to the head coach or whatever? He's a defensive guy, and this defense is imploding in front of them. I mean, maybe you don't want to meddle that way. You want maybe Ed to figure it out. But it's like you had these two guys there, and I thought, God, how could this defense be so bad when you got two guys like that in the room who did have a pretty good reputation before this year? It was just pretty frustrating from a fan standpoint.
Well, I mean, as far as hearing from it, like – talking to the media, well, you know,
I don't know.
That'd be out of respect for Ed. I mean, obviously, he was involved in meetings and stuff.
Yeah,
I think he it's a kind of a loose term on, you know, advising or whatever he does, but you have to do something to earn your keep out there to get on the payroll.
you know, it would probably be an easy hire, but I kind of want somebody to come in and shake it up. I you know, Brian Flores is certainly a lightning rod for the attention he's gotten, but I think he would do a good job, and it might be I don't know. Part of the Ed Donatello stain or whatever is kind of goes on Ed or Patton for me, you know, that because he was here and you know he had to be involved in whatever they were planning for each Sunday. So I don't know. I'd almost like to see him go outside the organization, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean that's those are valid points, and you know, Flores I think would be a guy that I think the players, you know, and granted we don't even know what the players are going to look like now. I mean that side of the ball is going to be is. Even the younger guys, I mean, to me, I don't, when you go through the list and you're talking about contracts and stuff like a Cam Dantzler, you know, you save $3 million on Cam Dantzler. Yeah. I would get rid of a Cam Dantzler and for a Duke Shelley or something like that. You know, I just say it's young guys, certainly old guys, but it's going to look a lot different over there.
And they say it's a pretty decent cornerback draft. As well as a quarterback, so with a Q.
Yeah, and this year was a great. This 2022 was a great cornerback draft. The Vikings just happened to pick two of them that couldn't stay healthy.
Right. Well, okay. Then there's only one item left to go for. You know, we had our prediction segment all year long. We went into overtime, and I picked both right this weekend, and you picked one of them. So I ended up. Winning out. We don't even need the last game. And I just got to ask, this is two years in a row, Mark. Do I need to give you strokes next year on this? You know, so that to give
well, you, a pepper? You know, depending on if the Vikings ever had they were losing season last year. So to me, the key to beating you is to take the Vikings every week and then take all the favorites in the playoffs and we'll tie every year.
Just pick winners, baby. That's the name of the game. Just got to
No. Just pick Vikings.
Do you want me to go next year?
Does Vikings Mafia, like if you were to pick them, this shows up online as you picking against them. Do you get like, do they come to your house and like, hey, you know, work you over? And,
No.
Does Paulie come over and work you over?
The record stands for itself. Look at the scoreboard, Mark. Come on, man. I mean, I'm picking winners.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to put some life into it. Like I don't want to pick the same teams that you pick, but you know, someone has to like.
I picked against the I picked the Vikings
one time
Packers game because I knew the Packers were going to beat them that game, but I picked against just for the segment. So there.
Oh God! Please.
No, I had picked the Packers at the beginning of the year.
Congratulations!
They would split. Hey
Joe, congratulations! You won when you picked two number one seeds at home. Congratulations. Hats off, Joe.
Yeah, that thing could have gone the other way, like just like that. Don't you say that.
Well, let's put it this way. The team that I rode with, they got a call for defensive holding on fifth down. So
I know.
I think they got jobbed a little bit.
Yeah, I think they got hosed a little bit. We should have. I would agree. I thought this Bengals are going to win. In fact, I told my brother, I was texting him. I said, yeah, I'm not so sure about this one because, you know, Mahomes was clearly hobbled, but you know they found a way to get her done. So we'll pick again next week. So Mark can win one of his beers back for me. You know, perhaps maybe we'll have another side bet. But that Mark's got to get me a Mankato Brewery beer. So that'll be a good day. Anyway, no picks this week, but you know that'll do it for us this week. We're heading into overtime here in the segment. So, but that's the fun of it. Thanks Mark for joining in. Thanks Mike Woldem, our producer behind the scenes. Thanks all you folks for tuning in and checking us out. Thanks Joe Johnson for putting us here. And until next week, when we do a little Super Bowl preview and talk about what else is going on with the Vikings, there certainly will be something. We'll be back for that. So we'll see you next time on Vikings Territory Breakdown. Until then, skull.
Skull.